Saints of God, will now please turn with me to Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 7. And we're going to recite this together. Lord's Day number 7, found on page 22. Are all men then saved by Christ as they have perished in Adam? No. Only those who by true faith are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits. What is true faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge of whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a hearty trust, which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merit. What then is necessary for a Christian to believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith teach us, in summary, what are these articles? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, it's always helpful to define our terms as Christians, especially when it comes to words like faith. Because faith, if it's not defined, can be used in all kinds of ways. In fact, we can even use it to death so that it almost means nothing, essentially. You can speak to Jehovah's Witnesses about faith. You can speak to Mormons about faith or Catholics about faith. And every time I drive through here, I see a little sign that says the Baha'i faith. The Baha'i faith, it says that God manifested himself in all these different religions. It's all just one religion. Anyways, all kinds of religions and backgrounds can use the word faith. But when you actually press on them as to what they mean by the word faith, they come to a very different definition than us. Different than the Bible. And so the Heidelberg Catechism really helps us to break down what faith truly is. And I submit to you that faith can be broken into two parts. The Bible, especially in the New Testament, it describes faith in two different ways. The objective faith and the subjective faith. The objective faith, or sometimes the Bible says the faith, when it talks about the faith, is what it's really talking about is a body of truth, a body of beliefs. And there's many verses that I can point to, but I'm just going to point you to one right now, just for out of edification. Jude verse 3, that we are to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. So we are to defend the faith that was delivered to the saints. So what, in that context of Jude 3, what was delivered to the saints? And if you continue on, and other portions of Scripture help us with understanding this, that the faith is referring to the Old and New Testament, the fully revealed will of God, the full 66 canonical books of Scripture. Right, so that's the faith. That's the objective sense of the word. And so faith has true knowledge in it. There's true facts that we understand on who Jesus is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, and how God has revealed himself in Scripture. Those are factual things that we need to understand. But that's not all that faith is. Scripture also points us to a subjective faith, that just because there is knowledge that God has revealed in His Word, faith is also something that I must do. Not that I accomplish redemption or anything or earn something, but it's something that we experience, right? We place our faith in Christ. So what does that mean? And the Heidelberg Catechism really explains that quite well. When it says that not only all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also to have a full, a hearty trust, which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, and not only to others, but also to me, so that we ourselves, because the Holy Spirit works in our hearts on who Christ is and how God has revealed Himself, we ourselves have a new heart, a new mind, to understand and place our hearty trust, our assurance, our full assurance is in who Christ is and what He has done for us. And this is something that you and I experience by the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'll point to one verse, there are many, but Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the glory of God, right? We rejoice in God because we have placed our faith in Him, and by faith we have peace with God because of what Christ has done on our behalf. So those two things must be held together. There's an objective faith and there's a subjective faith that I think helps us understand what we mean when we use the word, and how Scripture, more importantly, how Scripture reveals that to us. And so all this is important because the whole point of this is to understand, because Lord's Day 7 is coming off of the conclusion of Lord's Day 6, which is Christ is the only true God-man who can save us. We're in a miserable state. We have nowhere to turn other than Christ Himself. But how do we gain those benefits? How can we be engrafted into Him? And it's only by trusting in what Christ has done for us. Now, the Catechism then moves on to say, okay, so everything we need to understand, everything that we need to believe is revealed in Scripture. Everything that is promised us in the gospel. How do we summarize everything that is promised us in the gospel or promised us in the word? And the Catechism points to the Apostles' Creed. Not because the Apostles' Creed is on par with Scripture, but the Apostles' Creed is a helpful teaching summary tool to understand the body of what the Scripture teaches about concerning the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, look, if we had a perfect knowledge of Scripture, we wouldn't need the Catechism, right? We wouldn't need, the confessions and the creeds, right? But the confessions and creeds, they help us to stay on mark, to stay on the right path to understanding who God is, and knowing also the boundaries of where we are not to go, right? So the creeds and confessions help us in this way. But, and last thing, I just want to point this one thing out, that the creeds and confessions don't point to themselves as an authority. The creeds and confessions, like the Apostles' Creed, the Belgic, and the Heidelberg, all want you to be pointing to Scripture as its authority, as what to believe in. Everything is just helping us to get there, right? To understand the main body of truths that Scripture presents to us. Okay, so let's conclude our Lord's Day summary, Lord's Day 7, with that.